Good morning, everyone. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. But if you want to jot that phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. Our guest today, representing the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, we have Ron Smith on hand, and just by way of introduction, we had expected to have all three here this morning, but it turns out that we didn't have time to properly notify the public in advance that there would be a quorum present here. Ron, welcome. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's basically some housekeeping that needs to be done. they're getting their feet wet today. It's
Everybody's getting their feet wet today.
It's a real baptism when you come into that office because there's a lot to learn.
How does it feel right now to have a full board suddenly again?
It's like taking a big, dark, wet blanket off me. I feel a real relief that I got a couple solid people to work with. I'm pleased by the process that the temporary board went through to choose these two individuals.
That's exactly what I was going to ask about. Were you happy with the process and the way everything went?
Well, I think if people would pay attention to that process, they would see that maybe we need to adopt some of that process into our charter. Because our charter, part of my reclusal reason was that our charter is very vague when it comes to this appointment process. It simply says, if there's a vacancy, we'll advertise, and then we'll fill those vacancies within 30 days. That's all it says. And the problem with that process is this time they put this advertisement out for these jobs, they did a 48-hour window. And part of the problem was I, as a sitting commissioner, was not informed of a 48-hour window. So the whole process started out in a bad way for me.
All right. Well, let's start the process where we finally got to the Board of Elected Officials. From that point on, are you happy with that process and the way they handled everything?
I think it was very professional, very transparent. They did their due diligence. They went through all the applications. They developed a rating system that they were happy with. And I believe they came up with two very solid individuals that really are dedicated to serving Josephine County. And that's really what I was looking for.
And that's Gary Richardson and Colleen Martin. And
yes.
If they're out there listening, welcome. Glad to have you on board. But I imagine they might even be busy today, right?
Well, they're going to be busy. We're going to be busy as a board because there was a lot of departmental business that was kind of put on hold because we didn't have a quorum to deal with them. So I figure the next couple of months we're going to be real busy. They're going to get a real education in our public meetings.
All right. I was just on checking the agendas this morning and seeing what was on the calendar. There's not much on the calendar right now, but I know there's plenty planned. I know we've got a workshop planned and a weekly business session also, and even an excursion out to the animal shelter.
Yeah, well, I visited the animal shelter, and I've seen the condition out there. We're kind of jumbled things up here this week, so we're going to have an administrative workshop on Thursday. And we're going to have a weekly business session on Friday, which is unusual. It's not the way it's going to be all the time. It's just a temporary thing. We have a deadline of the 27th to pass a resolution to put the animal shelter ballot on the measure for May.
All right. Now, that's pretty critical right now for the animal shelter.
Yeah. I visited it. It's personal opinion. If we had the money, I'd tear it down and start all over. Because it's not set up conducive for the animals. The animal shelter is overrun with large dogs. And it's just really stressing the whole system, stressing the dogs, stressing the staff that works there. It's just not a very nice situation. And unfortunately, by the charter, or fortunately maybe, we are mandated to support that animal shelter one way or another.
All right. Well, the animal shelter itself does have a pretty good reputation, even though we know it's overcrowded. Because it's been one that is they don't euthanize very many animals out there.
Very, very few. And they do an excellent job of care.
And people out there are really top-notch people. They're just overcrowded.
They're totally dedicated to it. It's just a matter of the facility is not large enough to handle the flow of animals in and out. And it's a situation that really is kind of, in a way, deplorable. Unfortunately, everything that the county does is based on having funding.
All right. Well, let's talk about that funding just a little bit. How critical is it that we get this on the ballot right away? Would that mean the closure of the shelter?
No, because unfortunately we're mandated to support that shelter. It would just mean the money would probably come out, have to come out of general fund somehow to support it. We missed an opportunity a while back to receive a grant, and I'm going to keep looking for that, to do a three-phase expansion of the shelter. They have the room over there. The county has enough room there.
They've got the real estate.
They have the real estate. We just don't have the funding to build a proper shelter. I'd love to have – the way that these cages are set up for these animals is not very conducive because they face each other. It causes a lot of stress, causes a lot of noise and barking because they see each other all the time. So the situation could be much better.
Yeah, well, I know I would personally like some privacy. All right. Oh, how much money are we talking in order to renovate that thing?
Oh, I have no idea. That is something we'd have to sit down and work out a cost feasibility study, and we have not done that. It's something that we should do because we're mandated by the charter to support that shelter. So we're going to fund it one way or the other.
I know you get some help from the Humane Society, do you not? Or do they take over Flow Dogs? What's the relationship there? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I do know that we have a dedicated staff over there, but we have a tremendous amount of large dogs that are causing a problem. Problem is now, if you go out to get your large dog spayed or neutered, it costs you about $400. I mean, our problem in our county is probably that we have a lack of veterinary services that are willing to do those spayed and neuters. So that creates a problem. And I got to lay some of the problem on pet owners. But you know, the cost of spayed and neutering these larger dogs is cost prohibitive for most people.
I understand. All right. And let's see. The trip out there is planned for Wednesday. That's tomorrow, 2 in the afternoon. And this was noticed as a quorum going out. Will you be joining Gary and Colleen?
I will not be joining them. I just visited there and had a nice tour. I don't see any purpose of me going there. I got all the information I needed.
All right. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. We've got County Commissioner Ron Smith in studio with us. Once again, our two new commissioners were slated to be here, but because we couldn't notice a quorum in the amount of time that is legally legally mandated, they could not appear this morning, but they had agreed. So we'll look forward to having that in soon. Let's move on a little bit, Ron, because I know one of your pet topics has been certainly economic development revolving around the North Valley Industrial Park and the sewage situation out there. And now the school board, or at least I think the principal out there has been vocal about what's going on out there. Can you give us an update on the situation?
Well, I wish I had a better update, but I'll give you what I know. I just spoke with the maintenance supervisor at Three Rivers this morning to see if he'd had. We contacted a nationally known wastewater treatment company, and they came and they've done their survey on it to see what we need to do to be able to expand the usage of that facility, the wastewater treatment plant. Right now, we have not got that report back. So I'm chomping at the bit because I want this thing to move forward.
It sounds like the school district is too, yeah.
Well, they want to get out of that business. Now, you know, they have wastewater treatment plants at North Valley and at Hidden Valley because they have to have those because of the locations of the schools. But the one at Fleming is the one that the North Valley Industrial Park is attached to. And that's the one they want to get rid of, and it's the one the county is looking at taking over. There is a service district over there up there that can be brought into play. This was established back when Paradise Ranch had plans of expanding. So that district is still there. And that's probably where it would go under. It would go under them, that service district, with oversight from the Board of Commissioners. But we don't have all the details. What we're looking at is enough details that the Three Rivers School District and the county Board of Commissioners and the county can get into negotiations on a contract system, because that's really what it's going to take.
All right. Everybody has to agree on what's coming, and I guess that always comes to the bottom line is cost, and we don't know that yet.
We don't know that. If one thing I've learned about county government, it all revolves around
funding. It's all about the money.
It's all about being able to fund them.
All right. Yeah. Do we have any idea where that money would come from for that district?
I do not know right now. We would, once we get this estimate in of what it's going to take to build it, ideally would be to seek some grants that are attuned to that kind of industrial expansion and hopefully get some grant money to help.
All right. Ron, what, and you and I both know that the wheels of government turn pretty slow sometimes. We're probably talking a year down the road, aren't we?
Probably a year
easily.
Down the road. Easily down the road, probably at least a year down the road. I've been working pretty close with Wally Hicks, our legal counsel, on this issue, and we're both attuned to what's going on there. And I've been trying to push as much as I can push to facilitate this and move it forward, because I know there's some businesses at the North Valley Industrial Park that want to expand, but their expansion will be hinged upon this ability to treat the wastewater from that North Valley Industrial Park, but also... We just ran sewer and water to the airport. Now, nobody's going to be able to hook up that sewer over at the airport until we address this wastewater treatment plant.
Okay.
So it's kind of...
One affecting the other here.
Yes, it is.
All right. So airport is even involved in this one. So we'll keep an eye on that one. By all means, keep us informed, Ron.
Sure, I will. I'll bring anything I find out about it, I'll bring it to these meetings.
All right. Thank you very much. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We'll take a deep breath. We'll be right back after this message.
Why be at the...
Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest today, County Commissioner Ron Smith, is in with us. And Ron, we've talked a little bit about the ongoing procedures here to get this new board really installed here. And coming in, you're listed as the chair of the Board of County Commissioners.
Yes.
And I understand that there's going to be a procedural situation where there'll be another vote. Is that correct?
First, required by the charter, the mm-hmm. first meeting of the year, the first meeting of this new board, we will elect a chair and a vice chair.
Okay, and that'll be this Friday.
That will be this Thursday.
This Thursday at the workshop.
Administrative workshop.
The administrative workshop. Yeah. Okay. I was on the website this morning looking for agendas for both of those situations and couldn't find one. Do you know exactly what's going to appear on the agenda? Obviously,
I don't know everything that's going to be on there, but I know that at the administrative workshop, the agenda will be, of course, choosing a chair and a vice chair. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we're going to look at a resolution to get the animal shelter levy on the ballot. Other than that, I really don't know. We're trying to keep it light here this first week because we have some brand new members and they're going to get a baptism.
Trial by fire.
Yes, they are.
All right.
So, yeah.
What about the weekly business session that's going to be staged on Friday this time? Do we have any idea about the agenda there yet?
It's going to be. I know the animal shelter is going to come up there. I don't know exactly what else the department – we're going to handle the most urgent department issues as we have. Well, probably some of those will be handled in administrative workshop that will not require coming to the weekly business session. Generally, a lot of stuff can be handled in administrative workshop or in the conference room. When it doesn't regard the public or need for public comment, it doesn't necessarily have to go to the weekly business session. It can, but it doesn't have to. So generally the thing that comes to the weekly business is things that we need to open up for public comment.
All right. And public comment will be allowed during that business session.
Correct.
Correct.
It's always allowed during the business session.
And that's coming up on Friday morning. Did you say at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. All right. Got that down. All right. What else is facing the county commissioners right now as we reset this whole board?
Well, we actually have some positive things to look at. I don't know if you're aware.
We could use some positive.
Well, here's a positive for you. The split on ONC funds for years and years and years has been 50% for the counties, 50% for the feds. Well, we're going back to the original split, which is 75% for the counties and 25% for the feds. That could be a big boon depending on timber harvest. There is also a open comment period for the BLM that is going to revisit their forest plans regarding the ONC lands in Western Oregon here. So these could be very, very positive for us in funding, as far as funding goes, because, you know, if you know the history of Josephine County, ONC funds built a lot of the infrastructure and funded the sheriff for 100 years and fully funded county government for the same amount of time. And boy, we really miss having that funding. Another positive is that we are going to get some money from SRS funds because that was reauthorized. So we don't know exactly what the split is. I was a little jealous when I watched the news this morning because I seen Douglas County get $7 million and we were going to get $1 million something. But anyway, it is what it is. I don't understand the formula for it, but we are getting money which we didn't expect.
Just prior to coming in here, I checked on our computer, and we just received a release from Congressman Cliff Bentz, who has introduced a bill concerning ONC lands. Were you familiar that that was coming, or did you realize that was coming?
No, I didn't realize that.
And I don't know the details. It just came in, as a matter of fact.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know about this comment period that's opened up for this. I think both of this is relating back to early on in the Trump administration, an executive order that he made. And he made two of them, one regarding timber and one regarding minerals. So I think this was – and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I've been in contact with as many people in the local agencies to see when those executive orders, when they hit the ground. I think they're finally coming down to the ground right here where we can make some headway and get some comments in on them.
Congressman Bentz was in town last weekend. As a matter of fact, we had him right here on the radio Saturday morning. And he was talking about some of those very things, for instance, minerals here. And we know Josephine County is rich in minerals.
Very, very rich.
But when you go for a permit, and we've seen this happen, is that they have to put up a bond to mitigate any damages. And those bonds that they have to put down to mitigate all of the damage that might occur are just exorbitant.
I just found out something very interesting this very morning that was a tip from our forestry director, Dave Streeter. They're reviewing the NEPA process, National Environmental Policy Act process, and they're going to try to streamline that process to speed up those kind of permits and those kind of projects that can bring money to these rural counties. And I think that's a great thing. If we can, that's been a big hang-up, is the Environmental Policy Act and how over-regulated and overburdened it's got with rules and regulations, to the point where it takes years and years and years to get anything done on the ground. But at least this administration is looking at streamlining that process to cut down the time from the when somebody applies for a permit to the time they actually can start producing something.
Yeah, Saturday Congressman Bentz addressed that very topic, and they are working diligently to try to reduce all the red tape for minerals, for forestry, even for nuclear power. We're about 3 years away from that in particular to augment our electricity situation.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, though, let's talk about forestry right now. And Josephine County has gone outside the county and picked up more forest land right now. Are we seeing a return from that yet? What's the status?
Well, the reason we did that is, if you understand the difference in geography between southern Oregon and northern Oregon or Oregon on the coast, trees grow much better in northern Oregon and towards the coast because they get a lot better climate for it and better soils for it. That's the reason we purchased that property outside of the county. The forestry is a unique department within the county in that it generates significant funds and helps some of the other departments from those funds. So that was, I thought, a solid move. I would have appreciated that move on us acquiring that better timberland there. The forestry, our county forestry is market driven, and we manage those on a sustainable yield, and we manage those according to the best yield for whatever the market price is. So our director is very astute. He watches the market every time, and he doesn't do anything unless we can get the best bang for our buck.
All right. But right now we don't know, or at least we don't have any hard numbers on that purchase outside the county. Has paid off yet, or will pay off soon?
Oh, it will pay off. It'll pay off handsomely because we got it at a really good price for the amount of acres you got and the timber that's already on the land. It's very productive timberland, and it will be beneficial for years. It's a good move on our part.
All right. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Once again, ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. That number, 541-472-1270. Moving on to other topics right now. I know you've gotten a lot of response from your public out there on what's been going on. I'm assuming that will calm down, or at least change a little bit. Are you seeing any difference in what you're hearing from your constituents?
Well, it's like I said earlier, it was like a big dark blanket taken off of me personally. But I see a real calming down in the county over this issue because people were very concerned about whatever they perceived, problems they were perceiving. But I think with the way the alternative board handled the appointment process, the transparency involved in that, the people that were chosen, I see that there's a real relaxing in the community to maybe give us time to do our job and not, you know, I've watched the Board of Commissioners for 30 years. I really have. And I've never seen the Board of Commissioners so scrutinized for every move and every step we take. Never seen it like this before. So it would be nice if we could go about our business without being blasted every turn we take. So I'm looking forward to a calmer, more work-orientated, county-orientated business coming out of the board. Our job right now as the Board of Commissioners, and I've told my two cohorts this, is to build trust back in the county Board of Commissioners, not only between county government, but between the community. And we'll do that by being transparent and open in all of our decision-making.
All right. You've said you've been a county watcher for 30-plus years.
Yes, yes.
All right. And you've got two rookies who are just coming in to sit beside you. And I use that term with the most respect for Colleen Martin and Gary Richardson, who are certainly capable. But there will be, and you said, a learning curve right now.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how long they've been watching the county, but I know they have been. I know both have been heavily involved. So what kind of learning curve are we expecting here to get everybody up to full steam? This is just an estimation.
I think the first thing that we got to realize is that in the capacities that they served in, and they both served on boards, and they've been very involved in our community, but I think the public meeting laws are going to be a big learning curve because of the three-member board and our lack of ability to communicate between each other outside of public meetings. That's a huge thing. Understanding that we, as a three-man board of commissioners, we're not a team. And I think people may have a misconception of that, but we cannot be a team. That's exactly what the public meeting laws are trying to keep you from being. Because if you get a team of two or three, they'll just run anything down the road they want. That's why our decision-making needs to be done in public meetings where the discussion and the reason for our decisions is there for everybody to see. So that's a little different than probably the boards they've been used to. So that's a learning curve they'll have to learn. Administrative policies, you know, print that out. It's, you know, 2 inches thick. Personal policies. And that's one of my big things right now, Chuck, is to get the Board of Commissioners back and the rest of the county back on administrative policies and personal policies. Because the only trouble we've had in the last few years is when we sidestepped or went around those administrative policies and personal policies.
All right. And I know you and I have talked about this off mic, and you just kind of really alluded to it there. But to really explain it to our listeners out there, when you say you're not a team, because when you have a board of three, any quorum has to be notified, has to be publicized that it's going to be happening. So you can't pass each other in the halls and have a conversation. That's a quorum.
Definitely that would lead to insinuations that we were privately communicating to make a decision.
Backroom deals.
that could be perceived that way. So the best policy for us is to minimize our conversation. Hello, good morning, how are you?
All right, unless it's a public meeting.
Unless it's a public meeting. And I don't know if a lot of people understand that it's kind of an odd setup. You'd think going in, here's your three-person board. If we were a private business, we'd all be putting our heads together and we'd be working the way we could to improve those three counties as a group. But we can't do that under government rules. It's completely different.
All right. So that's why suddenly those administrative workshops seem to be a good place to get work done.
Yes, it does. That way it's public. Everybody sees the decisions.
All right. You're listening to Ron Smith, County Commissioner right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your ears this morning. We're going to take a little break for news. We invite you to stay tuned and come back right after news. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
You've heard all the excuses.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, the number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest today is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment directly to our guest today, Ron Smith, County Commissioner here, flying solo again. This is about the third month in a row that we've had you flying solo here, but that'll change next month.
Yeah, we have a full board now, and I'm looking forward to moving on and taking care of county business the way we should be doing it.
All right. No doubt. I almost wanted to look back, but I don't think we'll look back. Let's just look forward here and see what's on the agenda. Of course, public safety is always top of the mind awareness. Right. What's the situation with the sheriff and his budget we've got a couple of things coming up, including funding for the sheriff's department for the jail.
The jail levy's coming up. That'll probably come in November. We also have a levy for funding for juvenile justice. And, of course, we mentioned earlier that we have the levy for the animal shelter. We're going to get that on the May ballot. The other two will be probably coming. And I don't know exactly. There will be a lot of discussion between now and then on where we're going to go with this. And, of course, the sheriff and everybody involved in those discussions. I can't give you a lot of details on those levies, but I know they're both coming up. They'll probably be in November.
All right. Let me just ask a question, a strange question coming in, because the last board, when they took over initially with you and Mr. Barnett and Mr. Black, really changed the way that the Board of Commissioners worked with the county and their department heads, as I understand it. Will that change any with the new board? Do you have a feel for that yet, or is that still one of those questions that remains unanswered?
No, actually, I helped institute what they call the leadership committee,
mm-hmm.
which was all the leadership in the county, all the directors and managers would get together once a month and discuss different things. We went through that very issue of how administrative policy has been changed. There were basically four or five things that the most directors and managers were not happy with the way they were changed. It slowed down the process of daily business in the county government, trying to bring everything, even the smallest thing, back to the Board of Commissioners, which is really not necessary and total waste of time. So we're looking at how we're going to bring policy back step by step and how we're going to get it back. Where county government, where these directors and managers are a little more free to operate their departments as they see fit. When you hire these managers and directors, you basically say, we believe in you, we're going to give you the power to do your business, and let me know how I can help you be more efficient. Of course, we're going to watch and help manage your department if need be, but basically we want them to run the county. We don't want every little nuisance to have to come to the Board of Commissioners. It's a waste of time and very inefficient for county operations.
It's been our experience here that when we do have someone in from the county, which we try to do on the third Tuesday of every month, just before the fourth Tuesday, we try to get county staff in here. You've got some extraordinary people out there to run the county.
Very, very talented people in the county government, and I really appreciate all the hard work they do. I know that a lot of them have been kind of disappointed in the way things went in the past, and we're looking for, I don't know how to describe it, maybe a healing or a realignment process to help county government be more efficient and help these managers be more free to operate their different departments. Of course, with the Board of Commissioners' oversight, but help them be more free to operate, not have to bring every little stub toe to the commissioner's board.
Now, with the new look on the Board of County Commissioners right now, do you foresee an improvement in morale? And morale has been something that's been talked about here a lot.
Well, I'll tell you something, Chuck. I've got some very good feedback on my decision to recluse myself. That step in itself helped boost morale within the county. Because they could see that things were going to change. And I think it's like trust. You have to earn that. That's not given to you. It takes time to earn that trust back. So with a new board, we're going to be in a process of earning that trust back, and I think the leadership committee is one of the ways we're going to do that, being open with them and spending time with them in the departments and just working in general to make them feel like they're needed, they're wanted, and they're appreciated. We had an employee appreciation day, first time we've ever done that. We had that over at the fairgrounds, and that was well attended. So I think the healing process is starting, and it's going to take this board to be consistent and steady in what we do, and listen to our leadership, because there's a wealth of institutional knowledge in those people.
All right. I keep wanting to ask about your cohorts, Colleen and certainly Gary. They're well-known quantities throughout the area. Are there areas that each one has been verbal about, areas that they want to look into or work on or pay attention to?
Well, it's a little new.
I know it's a little. I realize it's a little new, and I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but it's a fair question. How are you going to divide up those duties?
I think what we're going to do is we're going to let them come on your show and tell you where they want to do this.
You're not going to put words in their mouth?
I'm not going to speak for them. I agree. I think they're solid people. I believe they're there because they want to serve the community. And by golly, that was the biggest thing I wanted. I wanted somebody that was honest that came into that office to serve the community. And I think we have that, and I think we're going to move forward as a solid board, a lot less controversy coming out of the office, and a lot more business getting done in a proper manner.
Yeah. In your opinion, what's the biggest problem facing Josephine County now that you're going to have to deal with once we get by this, certainly the animal shelter thing? So you've got certainly a full agenda probably for about a month to get everything under control again.
Chuck, it's always going to be funding. There's no other. The hugest problem we have is funding. Understanding that we have the lowest tax rate in the state. Understanding that 68% of the land that's federally controlled, we get absolutely no tax benefit from it. Funding is always a challenge. It's the reason we had to have a law enforcement a service district. It's the reason we float levies. Back in the day when we had these timber receipts, and I hate to go back there, but it is an example of what the difference was when we had that and what we have today. About 65% of our funding, of our budget, comes from fees and grants. And if grants start waning, it's going to strain county government. And I don't know what the state's going through, but a lot of these grants are federal grants that pass through the state down to us. So if the state is fighting the federal government and they're getting their grant funding cut, it's going to impact Josephine County.
So the state is the middleman right here for federal grants coming into Oregon?
For a lot of them. Not all of them, but for a lot of them, yes.
All right. So what's our lobbying situation in Salem?
Well, lobbying for the county?
Yes.
I don't know if we really have a lobbying for the county. We have a state representative. We have a state senator. Hopefully they're lobbying for the county that they're working in, but I have no idea what they're doing. Hopefully they are trying to bring some of that money back to Josephine County because we need it.
All right. Do you foresee the commissioners going to talk to the legislature up there?
I would think it would be a good idea to do that every now and then, but so far here's what I see that has been the biggest and I think wrong direction from previous boards is spending so much time looking inside of county government and looking how they could either control or change county government instead of looking outside of county government at the state level and the federal level. Our problem is not inside county government. Our problem is at the state level and the federal level. And that's where I'd like us as a board to look at those state issues and the federal issues. That's why I'm really excited about – I want to get the county back in the OMC associations. They have a lobbyist in D.C. They have the clout to get us the necessary audiences with Deputy Secretary of Interior and Agriculture. Those are the kind of things that are going to help Josephine County. All rural counties depend on producing from the ground, that you can't get around it. All rural counties depend on producing from the ground. I don't care if you're farming, I don't care if you're fishing, I don't care if you're mining or if you're logging. We, in our county, was built on mining and logging. Now, as long as those industries were flourishing, the county survived well. Now that those industries are hampered down and struggling, the county struggles. And that's the way it doesn't really matter if you're an Iowa farming town. If you lost the right to farm, you'd be in trouble. It's just like in New England fishing village. If they lost the right to fish, they'd be in trouble. Well, that's what we're seeing in Josephine County. We're seeing a hampering down or a diminishing ability to produce what built our county.
All right, so you're urging an outreach not only to the state level but to the federal level to reduce regulations to free up some of these resources that we have right at our fingertips.
Exactly. You know, I call Josephine County the poorest little rich county in the West.
Accurate.
We have the resources. We have the ability. We could be if we had complete autonomy, we could be a very rich county. But because of regulations not only from the feds but from the states, our ability to produce from the ground, which is what built this county, has been severely hampered in the last 40 years, 50 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. County Commissioner Ron Smith, our guest today, and we'll continue after this important message.
Grand opening.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, phone lines are open if you have a question or comment to our guest today. And that's Josephine County Commissioner Ron Smith is here with us. And Ron, we're down to our last segment here. We've got probably about 12 minutes left in the program here. And we've talked about a lot here today. Are there other areas that we need to be talking about that the people need to know about as we get this new commission underway?
Well, I think one of the bigger issues that doesn't get talked enough about is housing. We have a real shortage of housing, especially affordable housing in our county. And the problem is not internal in the county. It's a state problem because the state has decided they want to do statewide planning and control everything. And unfortunately, their desire is to have everything happen within the urban growth boundaries of Grass Pass. But housing is a serious issue, and I'd like to see it addressed more. It's kind of what our legislature needs to be working at, and our state rep and our senators could help a lot in this area.
Well, here it's the housing, both from the city council within the urban growth boundary, and now you're talking about just outside the urban growth boundary, and it's really state regulations that are curtailing that growth?
Yes, that's where most of the problem is. It's I talked to a prominent developer. I was at a rent burden meeting at the city council, and they were talking about how much people were putting into their housing cost, and I asked him, and the question was, where would you build an apartment complex like the Riverwoods apartment, our biggest apartment complex in the city or in the county? Where would you build one of those outside the city? There's no place. There's no place that can happen. And I think that there's an undue control lever at the state level that hinders our housing development. Cave Junction, Illinois Valley, that's a big boon area. That area has lots of room to expand, but no jobs. So I think another area that really needs to be looked at is the economy. I had somebody say, well, we have low, medium income, and we have poverty, three of the lowest zip code poverty levels in the state. Well, you know, we need to develop some kind of economy here, and that's one reason I focus on the North Valley Industrial Park. It's one place that's low-hanging fruit. But where else can we? I've advocated for years for the Illinois Valley Airport, even before as a commissioner, as part of a nonprofit group out in Illinois Valley. And they have an industrial park out there. It's in the airport. It's an enterprise zone. There could be a lot more happening out there. But because of somewhat of attitudes of community, there was a lot of hindrance about making anything that had noise, dust, or wasn't clean and green. And unfortunately, you just about kiboshed almost any kind of industry when you put those kind of constraints on them. But there's a big future for growth here. We have to have we need to have an economic development task force that really cares about Josephine County, not something that's regional, something that develops right here in Josephine County.
Well, you talked about the Illinois Valley Airport out there, and that's been certainly a topic of conversation many, many times right here at this very dais. What kind of is there, you said, put the kibosh on a lot of industry that could go into the Illinois Valley. Is there an area that you're looking at that could be, or a particular division of industry that could fit out there?
Well, there's one positive. Let me give you a positive about that. They are getting their fuel station out there, and that was a big, big problem with airplanes coming in and landing there and spending any time around there. There was no fuel. So they're getting their fuel station out there. That's went out to bid, and that's being done, taken care of now. There is room for expansion, but you know, Erickson Aircrane wanted to go out there and put their people out there, but too much public outcry, too much noise, da da da. And years ago, there was a drone manufacturer wanted to go out and use the Illinois Valley's airport as a place to manufacture drones, but then public outcry, everybody freaked out. Well, it's drones, but you know, those drones are being built somewhere, but they're not being built here. And Erickson Aircrane's working someplace, but they're not working in our county. So it's really, I think, maybe a public education about what we need to do. We seem to, whenever we come to cutting trees or digging holes in the ground for minerals, there's a big pushback from a certain element of the community, and that's their choice and their opinion. But can we come together? Can we come together as a community and find common ground? I really would like to see some common ground about the economic development, because I think that's the big driver. We can't afford houses because we don't have the income. But if we get more houses, are people going to be able to buy them if they don't have a decent-paying job? So I think economy is a common ground issue that I think no matter what hat you're wearing, you could get on board that economic development process.
Boy, you've just nailed it right there with in terms of economic development, both within the city and within the county, because I can name you innumerable number of situations where high-level executives were going to come into this area to do some work or to work for a particular company in particular and decided against it because they couldn't find a place to live, couldn't find the house that they wanted, and moved on. Whether that be in the Illinois Valley or locally right here outside the city limits of Grants Pass or in the county. Is the county and the city working together on a situation like this?
Not as much as they should be, I don't mm-hmm. think. I don't think. We do work with the city on certain things because we have oversight over certain parts of their
– Are there scheduled meetings on a monthly basis between you and the county, you and the city?
No, there isn't, and I think that's a good idea that we work together for that. But it's kind of different jurisdictions. We kind of oversee everything, but really they're – Their jurisdiction takes care of the city, and we have very little to say about what happens inside the city, some land use and stuff like that we have oversight over. But I think just finding the community that's willing and putting that community effort together, including county government, city government, and the community, maybe the Chamber of Commerce and some people. But let's put our heads together and figure out how we can all find common ground and see what we can do to bring industry in here. I've heard these stories where people were going to come here and the cost prohibited price of development was drove them out. No housing, that drove them out. So they went other places. It's time to roll out the red carpet. It's time to pave the way with roses. It's time to say, Josephine County is open for business. We want your business here. We're willing to give you tax breaks. We're willing to do whatever it takes to get your business here. We need to do that. If we want our people not to have the three as low as zip code poverty levels in the state, we have to decide that we're going to be business-friendly, even if the state's not business-friendly, because I know a lot of people are leaving the state because of their policies. But we as a county and as a city can roll out the red carpet. We can make this a friendly place to do business, but we have to decide to do that.
All right. You mentioned earlier that relies on educating the public or parts of the public. Where does that responsibility for the education lie? Is it on your shoulders? Is it on public entities' shoulders? Well, does it go back to the private practices that want to bring business in here to educate the public?
I think, you know, I'd like to see – we have a ton of nonprofits here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have an enormous amount of nonprofits in our county. I'd like to see one of them come in that want to do public education about economic development. I think there's an open door for anybody to want to bring a nonprofit in here that could use grant money to help bring community together to facilitate the common ground economic development.
What as a county commission could you do to facilitate that?
Well, I can reach out and find different people. There are certain people that are tuned to that, and if they'll reach out to me, maybe they hear me on the radio here, reach out to me. We'll try to put something together because we desperately need some economic development.
Ron, I've got about 3 minutes left of our program today, and I want to thank you very much. What do people need to take away from some of the things we've talked about today for Josephine County?
That you have a board of commissioners that's going to work for you. You have a board of commissioners that's concerned about your well-being, they're concerned about the well-being of Josephine County, and they're concerned about the well-being of the county employees. This is a big step forward. I think we have a much brighter future moving ahead. I encourage anybody to reach out to the board of commissioners. If you have questions, talk to us. My door is open. I get there very early in the morning, and I'm there all day. I'll take your phone calls. Every phone call I get, I return a call. I don't care who you are. I get those little slips from the secretary. I got to stack them, and I keep them all, and I write down what I talk to them about. But reach out to us. We're here to listen to you. We're looking for ideas. We have a little suggestion box outside the office, but nobody puts any suggestions in there. So I'm open for suggestions on how we can find common ground for economic development to solve some of our housing and our job problems. I think that's a big step in the right direction.
All right, Ron, about another minute left if you want to use it.
Well, I just want to reiterate that I think the brighter days are ahead for Josephine County, as bright as we can make them considering everything that's going on nationally and internationally. But we as a community can come together. I think we need to prepare. I think that we look ahead and realize that maybe maybe there are some things coming down from the federal and international level that may hinder us, but we need to get a little tighter, close-knit community and stop the infighting and start the developing of unity so we can have common ground to move forward in a peaceful way.
All right. You've been listening to Josephine County Commissioner Ron Smith here on KAJR Radio, the Tuesday talk show. We want to thank you for your ears and invite you back next Tuesday. That'll be the first Tuesday of March, and we expect the, let's see, oh, that's that's City Council coming in here. So a lot of these topics will bend over for that one. So we'll invite you back once again next Tuesday. City Council will be in studio. In the meantime, you've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio.